You know, sometimes it takes us a little bit to get back on track, and sometimes it takes us a little bit to figure out where we are really at. But about a week ago, week and a half ago, I'm on this one site. It's a rat rod site, and if you don't know what a rat rod is, it's a bunch of junk parts put together, and you drive it down the road, and it looks like it's going to fall apart, and someone's going to die from it, and probably rightfully so, but. But I asked this question the other day, and I told everybody to keep it clean. I said, if you could have anything, anything at all, what would it be? And one guy was honest. He says, when you said keep it clean, you lost me. He was just like, he was going in a ditch, and we kept him out of the ditch, which was good. And one guy put, oh, he would love to have his first car back. And another guy said, they started listing all these different cars and things that they wanted to have. And I let him go for a while. And then I put on there, I would love one more Saturday with my dad. Wrenching on old. Cars, shooting guns, having him smoke his old pipe with cherry tobacco in it. One more Saturday with my dad. And it was interesting because there was a change in the whole environment of the conversations from that point on. And people were like, yeah, I'd love one more day with my grandpa who taught me everything about cars. I would love to do this. And it was just one comment about, I would just love one more day with someone that I can never have again. And someone posted, it was weird, it was a woman on a rat rod site. There are rat rod women out there. And she said, to know that I will be accepted by God and allowed into heaven. In this rat rod preacher and a couple other guys shared the gospel on this national forum talking about Jesus and how to be saved. And it was so fun because it all started with, if you could have anything. And I didn't go all spiritual with them. I just kind of let them out there and I just said, I need to say, ask this question. And I was going to have some fun with them because, you know what, more important than a rusty old car is just, if we could have one thing of time, one day of time back with someone that we love that we can never get back, we'd do it, wouldn't we? But just think about this. Jesus died so we could have all the time in the world with him, that we could have eternity with him, so that we could know that we will be accepted by God and allowed into heaven. And deep down in each side, inside of each and every one of us, that is the biggest thing we could ever desire. That's the one thing we truly hope for, is that when we take our last breath and we our eyes closed for that final time, that the next time that they open, we see Jesus. Because if we see a bonfire, we're not going to be happy. But to see Jesus, we want that. We desire that more than anything. And as we talked and we shared all these different verses and all the different tenets of faith and grace and what that can do for us, it was awesome because this little verse of Ephesians 2:8 is so important. It is, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is the absolute gift of God. That by faith we trust that God will be there to answer the door when we knock. And faith is such a difficult thing. It means so many difficult things for so many different people. And you ask and you get all these different answers of belief. And some people say seeing is believing. And they don't trust anything that they can't see. And some people say believing is seeing. Because sometimes you have to believe before you can see it to be real. Some people say it's trust or hope or just a deep felt conviction. But what's amazing about faith and faith in God is it gives you the confidence to live a life of dependence upon Him. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is all about. It talks about those great men and women of faith. And matter of fact, it's called the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. But verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, I hope to have lunch today. And I know that when I looked in the refrigerator this morning, there was nothing for lunch in it today. I am hoping that I'm going to get lunch. And I can make it happen if there's nothing in there, because we haven't gone grocery shopping yet. But I, you know, I'm hoping and believing today I'm going to eat lunch. And obviously, it doesn't look like I've missed too many, so I'm probably okay in this area. But when it comes to stepping from this life into eternity or without God, there is a big question that hangs over all of us. Where have you put your faith? What are you trusting in? What is your hope? What is your deep-held conviction? And what gives you confidence? And who are you really depending on? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, real faith, believing faith to the point of action. Did you know that there's a lot of people who believe that there's a God, but they don't step out in faith or step forward by faith to know Him? They don't take any necessary steps to grow closer or deeper with Him. They just live a life saying, just acknowledging that there's a God is good enough for me. But when you really live by faith, it causes you to order your steps differently than everybody else in the world. To a point of action where you're willing to live differently by a different value set that's outside yourself until it becomes something that lives inside yourself. You know, I love it when people start arguing about what's right and what's wrong, and they're doing it based on the standards that they have or the world has, because they're arguing from their personal desires and preferences. But here's what's interesting is this, is I don't get to argue that way. All of my actions and beliefs and understandings and where my faith is says that I have to base it on something that's impossible for myself that only God can do. And by faith, I trust and believe that if I surrender my horrible, no good life to Jesus Christ, He's going to make something good out of it and receive me into heaven. Not based on anything I've done, but based on what He has accomplished. And you know, so many people say, "Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so." Yeah, I understand that. You're probably not as bad as I am. But the reality is you need something better than yourself to be able to save you. And there's only one person that can balance your scales, and His name's Jesus. Any place faith resides other than in Jesus leaves you on the outside of the door knocking and God not answering. You see, it's only in God that we can trust for salvation. And when we trust God for salvation, it takes a lot of pressure off. You know, I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, I can tell you right now, you aren't good enough. So say, turn to the person next to you. "Deanne, I hate to tell you, as wonderful as you are, you're not good enough." Now, you don't say "Deanne" to the person next to you, because that's not Deanne unless you're sitting next to her. But tell the person next to you, you're not good enough. Thank you, Josh. You're the only one that did it. Now, some of you have been waiting a long time to tell the person next to you that, but you've been afraid all these years. But the reality is there ain't one of us good enough. But God is able to make us right for salvation. And when He does that, it's not something that we have put on. It's something He's put on. And you know what? He's the one that dresses us and undresses us with that. And we need to trust Him for salvation. We need to trust Him every single day. And I hate to tell you this stuff, but God's greatest blessings come when we exercise our faith in Him. It's not something that is, it's not a blessing to sit there and have roses and sunshine every day. I'm sorry, it isn't. It's when your faith and trust in God and your salvation is proven to Him that you really appreciate what you've got. Oh, I can't have roses every day? I'm going to enjoy the roses when I have them, but when they're gone, I'm going to trust God to bring more roses. You see, when we step out and believe to a point of action and we receive His grace, as it says in Ephesians 2:8, we have been saved through faith by grace in Jesus Christ alone, and it's God's gift to us. We receive salvation in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, that is something that is truly amazing for us. It's something that we need to be excited about, because when we step forward by faith, He justifies us, brings peace with us. He sets us up that we have access to Him, and we can stand up before Him. And we rejoice in the hope of the future glory we have with Him. And you know what? It's really hard to rejoice in the middle of your storms, isn't it? When life seems to be falling apart and life seems to be crashing down around you and there's nothing you can do, which there's nothing you can do, only God can. When we go, wait a minute, I've got someone who can calm the storm, that can walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. And if I stay there, it's okay because I wake up there. That's what real faith is all about. Faith and grace and mercy and love and the gift of God isn't just for the sunshiny days, folks. It's for the down and dirty, crawling in the mud days when you don't think you can get up one more time. And it gets tricky. Real tricky, because here's the problem. Hebrews 11:6 kind of messes things up for people who think they can be good enough or there's a way other than Jesus. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Not a little bit seeking Him, but a lot of bit seeking Him. You know, I asked you the question, what are you here for this morning? Why are you here? Are you here to worship the God who saved you by His grace when you turn to Him by faith? Or are you just here because it's the right thing to do on a Sunday morning before you go to lunch? Are you seeking Him with all your heart? Are you in the Bible every day? Are you in a small group? Are you attending Sunday school class? Are you investing into yourself to know Him better and more? The way the God of the universe desires to be known by you, like He knows you? If you're not, you are not earnestly seeking Him. And if you're questioning, why is my life and my faith so weak? It's because of that reason. There's no earnestly in your life. James talked about it. Passion, desire, pursuing. If you're not earnestly seeking Him, then there's a problem that only you can correct. And some of you are working at it. Some of you are trying. But we all can do better. We all can. And we all need to. He says, there are rewards for those who earnestly seek Me. I hate to say it. It's kind of like my dog does something good and I throw him a bone. Here. And guess what? My dog likes me more. Sometimes, you know, were you the kid like me that my parents said that when I was younger they had to tie a pork chop around my neck so they could get the neighbor's dog to play with me? Anybody else had to ever said about them? Throw a dog. You know, God does that with us. He sets a little treat out there and says, come to Me and chase after Me, and look what I've got for you. But are you earnestly seeking Him? You know, a lot of people hope and believe there is a God. kind of like Paul was chasing after God as best he knew, and then he met Jesus, and he said he went to those who did not know God and said to them, you've got a temple and you've got a statue to an unknown God. Let me tell you who he is. There's a lot of people who believe that God is a great higher power, but the problem is they're just being religious and saying, okay. Some people believe that all religions will get to where you hope to go to, but it's kind of like using a map of New Jersey trying to find your way to Springfield, isn't it? Well, if I go down this road, maybe I'll get there. See, all roads do not lead to heaven. It's only when you trust Jesus that you find your way home. And peace with God and heaven are only a certainty for us when we've made Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. John 14:6, Jesus answered, without any question or reservation, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no good enough. There's no close enough. You don't get a participation trophy for heaven for just by attending church. Going to youth group or Awana doesn't get you there. It comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, period. So your Muslim buddies, your Hindu buddies, those naturalists, the pagans, all chasing after a God, are missing God completely. And when they come knocking on heaven's door, they've shown up at the wrong spot. See, the only assurance of salvation we have comes when we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And we can trust God for salvation for eternity, but also for daily life. That's how Abraham lived his whole life and faith journey in the midst of impossible odds. He was a nobody that God made into a somebody. In Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. And you know what's amazing is this. In Abraham's lifetime, he never received that promise. He's still waiting. Because God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth that with borders that are going to be so amazing and it's going to be so fantastic. And he's looking forward to that day. And you know what? Most importantly, he's looking forward to all of his children who have come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. He was faithful to God and lived a fairly faithful life, and God blessed Abraham for that. He blessed him in a new land, and he made him into a great nation that would be blessed, and he would be a blessing to the rest of the world. He told him those things were going to happen, and they did. But what was really tough on Abraham is he's looking and he's going, I got all these children of faith, but I don't have a child of my own. And unfortunately, they tried helping God out a little bit with that whole situation. But there was a promise God made. And he said, you will have a child of your own. You see, God is the God who makes promises to people and keeps promises to people. Even when people make promises to God and they don't keep the promises to God. He made a promise and said, you're going to have a child of your own, and Sarah's going to be the mother of your child. And he's like, dude, you better get with the plan because I'm old. You ain't old enough yet. And time ticks by, and time has a way of eating at our faith. And God says, you're old, you're dried up, you're dead, you are at the end, not at the beginning. It's impossible with someone your age, right? Uh-huh, it sure is. And God goes, watch what I can do. And gives him a son. You see, God is the one who saves and does the impossible every day. He does the impossible in restoring marriages and lives and relationship when he is the center of things. And if you come to him by faith, he's going to mess up your world in a fantastic way. But he's going to give you the world in eternity with him. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. You know, Abraham kept trusting and believing when everyone else had lost hope. He kept his faith in God. And that old dried up body, as good as dead, brought forth life because he had faith in his God. Verses 11 and 12 said, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him who was faithful, who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and countless as sand on the seashore. You know, God is the God of the impossible. He can save the faithless who turn to him by faith. And you know, if he can honor Abraham's big faith and Sarah's little faith by giving them a son, he can do amazing things in your life. The disciples ran into that themselves. They were seized by the grips of the storm and had faith in and a fearful respect for God. And they looked at Jesus in the back of the boat taking a nap. And in Mark chapter 4, it says this. When evening came, he said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side of the water. And leaving a crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drowned? And he got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, what are you so afraid for? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, Jesus had to live by faith in his Father, and he did, because you know what's amazing is he laid in the back of the boat sleeping like a baby when the storm raged around him, because he trusted in his Father, and it proves that we can trust him too. And the disciples learned to trust God by watching Jesus. What's interesting is there's this little verse in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, that Jesus tells his disciples. And it's all about faith, not much faith. He says, you have so little faith. I tell you, if you have faith even smaller, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, because nothing is impossible for you. You know, when you start out with faith saying, you know, this is what God's word says about me, a sinner, and that I can be saved and have the gift of eternal life. And you take that mustard seed step of faith, you've moved complete zip codes from this world to his world. You don't know it yet because everything seems to be the same, but things begin to change. And if you have that same little bit of faith, he can change you from the inside out so that you begin to act differently on the inside and know things differently and begin to act differently on the outside as well. And it sets you on a journey of faith. And let me tell you this, that genuine faith will move your mountains and it will calm storms and it will do the impossible. And most importantly, it's going to bring you eternal life through Jesus Christ. But here's the incredible thing about faith. Faith is really boring when there aren't any problems to challenge it with. It is. If you don't have to have your faith proven on a regular basis, then maybe you don't have it. Because the challenges come when your faith is being pushed and tested and stretched, and you're standing, I can't do this, and God's saying, step forward. Wait a minute, step forward. I can't, step forward. Because God wants to build your faith up daily, one step at a time, trusting Him first with the gift of salvation, working through His unchanging word to live your life based on His principles and not the world's best guess, where it says in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, that we can come to Him and know Him by faith, and we can live for Him each and every day. But when we begin to face obstacles, when the hill goes up instead of just this nice coast all the way to the bottom, our lives begin to change. You see, Moses had to exercise his faith when he stepped up to the edge of the Red Sea. And God's saying, you're going through that. Really? Yep. Stand up, raise up, and watch what's going to happen. And the sea parted and they went through. Joshua, same thing, crossing the Jordan. Here it got a little bit trickier. He gets it here. God says, okay, tell the Levites, grab the ark, start walking. And I can tell you this, I would love to be there. I think it would be cool. The movie producer in my head says, you know, they walk up and they step and the water goes, psh. I like the version where they're stepping in and they got the pole on their shoulder and the water's getting there and the ark starts floating and they're up to their neck and pretty soon they're no longer able to touch ground, but the ark's floating them and they're hanging onto the pole with everything they got. And then all of a sudden it's like someone pulls the drain out of the bottom of the bathtub and it's not all clogged with hair and it goes, and they're finally, wow, and they cross. I mean, how much faith does it take to walk around Jericho 7 days in a row and get to the end and blow your kazoo, believing that the walls are going to come down because God said so? That's nuts, right? No, that's faith. God saying, I'm testing you. I know this is ridiculous. But here's the thing, if God says something ridiculous, God said something you need to do. And when you do it, your faith is moved into action and you will be rewarded for it. See, David started out with lions and tigers and bears, oh my, before he got to Goliath. And you are too. You see, faith never grows, nor does it blossom in peaceful moments. Faith only shows its true beauty in times of great struggle, and faith flourishes in harsh environments. There are some of you living in relationships right now with an unbelieving partner that is struggling, and they are like your biggest obstacle in life. Keep living for Jesus by faith, because your faith will win them, convict their hearts, and show them who God really is. I don't know why I said that. I just thought it was pretty good to say. So there's your word of encouragement to Deanne. Keep it up. You see, it's when we trust God for the impossible and we see Him do that impossible thing that our faith grows bigger and bigger. And it's when our back is against the wall and the creek is rising and all we have left is our faith. We have no chance left. We have nowhere left to stand. That's when we grow a little taller and stand a little taller, because we have to believe in God. He will rescue even wretches like us. But when you sign up by faith to follow Jesus Christ, you do receive salvation, period. Okay? But I promise you this, you're going to face stretching adversity for your faith for the rest of your life. It's going to be all uphill, but the reward at the end is great. He will never, ever, ever let you down. And even if you lose your life on account of him because you have served him, or cancer comes and takes your life, or old age comes and whispers you away in the night, you will never fall through his fingers but rest sweetly in the palm of his hand for eternity. See, we step forward with this little seed of faith and we plant it in God's garden. And God grows it. How he wants to grow it. And it makes us faithful. And we see him do great and amazing things. So my hope is that this week becomes the week of weeks for you, where your faith gets stretched and exercised and made stronger. And that God does it all. Because there's great things in store for all of us who trust him. Let's pray as the ushers come forward. God, do whatever it takes to increase our faith so that we can stand with you and for you no matter what the storm. Make us faithful when all we want to do is turn back in fear. Holy Spirit, keep calling out to us. Step forward in faith. He will not let you down. Let us see your mighty hand working among us in the days ahead so that the whole world will be turned upside down by what you're doing through your people of faith. May our faith see what our eyes cannot see, and may we expect great things from your mighty right hand as you give all of your power and support behind that which you call us to do. We can trust you for salvation, for day-to-day living, and for eternity. May our faith turn into action for you, Jesus, and not just be something we talk about, but something that we live out. And Jesus, thanks that we know you. May we love you and serve you by faith every day until you come back for us and say, enter into my rest, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we all get to pray. And all God's people said, amen.